Welcome to the MMA Happy Hour. I am Kyle Anthony, your host. We're here. We have interviews, MMA banter, and betting advice. This week, UFC Vegas 73, Mackenzie Dern versus Angela Hill. We're going to talk about three plays. Now, listen, I know we were supposed to have Johnny Walker. Those of you that follow me, I was supposed to have Johnny Walker on the show today. He agreed. We chatted. All this great stuff. He was my best bet winner last week against Anthony Smith. He was, -110 to get the victory. A four-unit best bet. It was actually the second best bet I hit on the day, but we're supposed to have him on. We were going to talk all things MMA, his fights coming up, all these things, and he ended up canceling last minute, so kind of sucks, but I do have a replacement, and there is only one replacement for Johnny Walker. Johnny Walker. So we are gonna, in the spite of not having him on the show, we gotta do ourselves a favor. Listen, cheers to the best bet winner, and listen, we will have Johnny Walker on. I promise you, we will have Johnny Walker on at some point. Not the bottle, the real guy. Let me make sure that, there we go. So with it being said, hopefully we can have him on at some point. We can talk all things MMA, but I do have some great UFC fighters lined up in the coming weeks. Next week, we are off. Following week, we got some things going on. So got some things in line. If you want to follow me at KyleAnthonyUFC on Twitter, you can also see all of my plays on wagertalk.com. Kyle Anthony, you'll see everything there. Also link down in the description. So before we get into anything else, let's dive into the main event of the evening between Mackenzie Dern and Angela Hill. Now you got Mackenzie Dern, she's -190. On the comeback here, you've got Angela Hill +155. So when you look at this fight here, the first thing you got to talk about is the fact that Mackenzie Dern is the elite grappler. She's going to look for the takedown. She's going to look for that control time. She's going to be looking for basically submission hunting out the get-go. And that's kind of the way that she does it, you know, and she's very good at that. And that's going to be her path. If you're also looking at her striking, aggressive, moving forward. On the other side here, you've got Angela Hill, who is a veteran of the sport, well-rounded. But the big question of this fight is going to be, can Dern take Angela Hill down? That's going to be the path for her. That's what she's going to be looking to do. But there's going to be several layers of issues for her in this fight. And I think the first thing's going to be the fact that she has 11% success rate on takedowns. If her main path is going to be takedowns and going to be submissions, that's going to be a big problem for her. While Angela Hill on the other side, 65% success rate on defending takedown. So I think that's going to be interesting. But the one thing for Dern that she does, and she does it very well, she gets a little bit more creative, I would say, with it, where she kind of latches onto a body part, looking for the takedowns, looking for, I wouldn't say even the takedowns, but it's more she's latching on and just looking for submissions. And you saw it against Tisha Torres. She latched on, had a Kimura standing, then got on her back and was just working angles. That's really what Dern does. If she can't get the takedowns, she's going to do that. Also, the fact that she pulls guard a lot. Now, that's never the greatest thing at all. We saw Kron Gracie recently look like a complete clown out there where couldn't get the takedown, just trying to, you know, pull guard, but did it very, very 1980-ish kind of situation. And, you know, Dern definitely has more ability, well-rounded than Kron is, but she'll pull guard because she is just so confident in her ability where she's on top or on bottom or anywhere on the ground. She has the advantage. That's what it's going to be. But also the fact that she will have the physicality. And I think that's going to help her in this spot, that she will have the physicality advantage. She will have the strength advantage, I think, also against Angela Hill in this spot. And it may be one takedown. You know, it may be one takedown, and that's all that Dern needs to get the takedown and look for that submission. That's how good she is on the ground. You know, Hill, she can scramble, but that's going to be a scary part for her. But I got to say one thing, that if this stays standing, Angela Hill has the advantage. And now you got a girl who has an 11% takedown success rate. And if it stays on the feet, Hill has the advantage. That really starts to talk about this line a little bit here, where you've got Hill, who I think is a sharper striker, better footwork, you know, crisper combinations, even cutting off angles. I don't like how Dern does that. She's not very good at cutting angles off, even in a small apex cage, which could help Dern looking for these takedowns, looking for kind of pushing forward a little bit, maybe, you know, getting that cage push and seeking any kind of latching on. That could help her. But if you look at really, again, that what, you know, Hill does, and she's going to have the crisper striking. But what I also do like about it is the fact that she has that volume. The volume to me is going to be very important here, where Dern has been out-volumed by almost everybody when she loses. And when strikers just keep that volume, and again, she can't cut the distance very well, and then you have a striker that can just keep voluming her out and just keeping her at distance, it's going to make Dern, you know, a lot more tougher for her to cut distance, get her hands on you. So those are the things that are going to be a little bit of problematic for her. But if we even look at just situational, over the last few fights, she has struggled with these rangy strikers, with these strikers that can somewhat defend takedowns and just volume you out and just hit you with as many shots as possible. And that kind of, again, Dern is more of a big shot puncher. She'll throw the big shot to kind of cut distance. If she could land a shot, she's going to be happy with that. Of course she is. But really, overall, that's not her game. She's going to look to cut distance and get her hands on you. And Angela Hill has that advantage. Now, on the other side of it, of course, Dern has worked on her striking. I think her striking's gotten a little bit better. I guess. I mean, we all keep saying that, but I'm not really seeing this change in reality to really where she should be probably at this point. So it's going to be tough for her. She is durable because she can move forward. She can take shots. Hill is not one that's going to be a big, you know, she's not going to be cracking her with big shots. Again, it's going to be more death by accumulation when you're talking about Angela Hill. On that side of it, can she bully, you know, Hill up against the fence a little bit? I think so. And again, I'm a little bit, you know, if it's one takedown, that could be it. That could be problematic. But I also think the fact that this went from 3 rounds to 5 rounds, I think that actually does help Angela Hill in this spot, because I think, again, the volume, you know, you're not really going to see Dern winning rounds. I mean, she's not a round winner. She's not a minute winner. She's really submission or bust. And that's kind of really been her game. You know, maybe there's some greasy decisions that she can win, but where is she winning positionally? Where is she minute winning? That's going to be Angela Hill, and she's not going to have that. Dern won't have that luxury at all. I think that the volume is going to be the difference maker. I think when they show the scorecards in that fourth round or whatever it is, I think you're going to see a pretty wide gap of just landed significant strikes. That's where Angela Hill knows that's going to be her bread and butter. She has utilized that over the last couple of fights. I think it's worked for her pretty well here. So when you're looking at this spot here, you got Angela Hill plus 155. I think Mackenzie Dern probably is the rightful favorite here. I think the line is too wide here. I think Angela Hill has the ability to outpoint her over the 5 rounds. So I do like Angela Hill plus 155 as my free play, but I think plus 210 is not a bad number for Angela Hill via decision, which is probably her most likely path. I don't see her finishing Dern. So I think that Angela Hill gets the job done, but I will take Angela Hill plus 155 as my free play. Now, the other play we're going to talk about here is going to be Diego Ferreira versus Michael Johnson. This one, I think, is going to be a banger if you're looking at it here. Now, you got Diego. He's plus 156. Minus 156. On the other side here, Michael Johnson plus 122. And I guess before we even dive into this one, we should talk to Johnny Walker. Let's talk to Johnny Walker. Hey, hell of a fight last fight, Johnny. All right, so we're going to talk Diego Ferreira versus Michael Johnson now. When you look at this fight here, of course you're going to have Diego Ferreira. Let's make sure my camera is good here. We, of course, going to have Diego Ferreira in this spot here where he's going to look for the takedowns. He's going to look for utilizing his BJJ. He's got fantastic BJJ. When he can get into the ground, his grappling's elite. His grappling's very good. You know, and that's going to be one thing. On the other side of it here, you've got Michael Johnson, great striking, you know, quick hands, good boxing, power. So he's going to want to keep this on the feet. And that's going to be the issue here where Diego wants to get these takedowns. He wants to really utilize his grappling. And he has the inability also, like Dern, to get it there. He needs to get it there in order to win. And you look at it, 24% success rate on takedowns. You've got Michael Johnson on the other side, 80% success rate on defending takedowns. That to me right there says a massive amount of where this is going, because even if you look at kind of what, you know, Diego does, listen, if he can get it on the ground, he's going to have an advantage. If there's any point in this fight that Diego is on top of Michael Johnson, there is a threat to end the fight. Absolutely. But I don't think it's really going to get there. I don't really see takedowns. I think that Johnson can defend these over the three rounds. And if you look at it too, when he even the sloppy entries of Diego, I think are not good. I think they look bad. And you even see how Michael Johnson, he'll sprawl really well, great hips, ends up getting away from these takedowns, sprawls. And the one thing that I really love what Michael Johnson does is he makes you pay for every single takedown. He defends a takedown, he's swinging big hooks, and he's got fast hands, big power. He wants that because he wants that opponent to know, you keep doing this, I'm firing big shots on you. Now, if this fight, stays standing by any stretch of the imagination, I expect Michael Johnson to be lighting up Diego for as long as the fight lasts, because I don't see any good striking. Now, I see sloppy entries on the takedowns, which is Diego's path. I see sloppy striking and takedowns when you're coming to just everything that he does. I think that really is worrisome against such a good striker, such crisp hands, fast combinations. He will go after it too, which I do like. If Johnson hurts a guy, he's going for it. He is not a guy that's going to say, hey, I just want to win a round. He's going for it. And I think that's also going to show the fact that Diego has been rocked, wobbled, knocked out a couple times. He is ripe for the picking, and he's hittable. He's there with his wild striking and his loopy shots. He is there against the striking caliber of Michael Johnson. And also, Michael Johnson should be on a 3-0 run. He's 2-1 over his last three. He ended up KOing Alan Patrick. He beat Mark DeCasey, which I thought was a fantastic win for him. I thought he looked really good, defended takedowns, and then ended up outstriking him, outlanding him. And DeCasey, I like where he's going, even with his just ability. He's starting to really evolve, just not be a kickboxer. He's really utilizing the wrestling, the grappling, and mixing it all together, which he should. And Michael Johnson looked great, and I think DeCasey looked fantastic overall over the last few fights. And then his only loss was against Jamie Mullarkey, and Jamie Mullarkey took some big shots, somehow won a decision. I would say that the decision should probably go to Michael Johnson. He didn't get it, but he still looked great. And some of those shots that landed on Mullarkey, I would say if any of those land on Diego, it's over. The fight's over, because it's just Mullarkey is tough. He's got a chin. He's durable. He's willing to take a shot and just keep going. I don't see that being Diego's game. Where on the other side, Diego, 0-3 out of his last three, has not looked good, knocked out two of them. Has he fought top competition, all of those things? I mean, that's still a situation where, hey, that's great. He fought Gamrot back in 2021. That was his last fight. The end of 2021 was his last fight against Gamrot. I thought he didn't look that good. Gamrot is a guy that really more, well-rounded, but not really that great striking, was landing on Diego in certain spots there, where even if you look at it now, You put in the fact that it happened back in 2021, and Diego's 38. Now, Michael Johnson's 36, but still, he's active. Johnson is active and looking good and elevating. And listen, he's a guy that, he's getting victories. He's getting victories, and it tells you he's in the gym, he's working. Is it telling you that Diego's in there in the gym working, where last fight against Gamrot, he kind of gave up, they said he came in with a rib injury, and then he landed a shot to the ribs, and that's what did it. But literally, when he got hit to the ribs, Diego looked at the ref and said, I'm done. That's not a guy that I want to be backing. Now, it's easy for me to say that if he had a cracked rib coming in or anything like that, for me to be sitting here, comfort of my own home, and saying that he should keep fighting. But it's not a good look when you're a professional fighter overall, 38 years old, inactive, coming off an injury. We've got Michael Johnson, who has the striking, has the ability. I like Michael Johnson here. I think he has the absolute ability to knock this guy out. If you're looking at the knockout, it's plus 335. That's probably his most likely path. I like that here, but even Michael Johnson, just straight plus 222, is a good number if you're getting a plus number on Michael Johnson, who should be the favorite in this spot. So I'm taking Michael Johnson plus 122 as my free play. Now, before we dive into the next one, we got to talk to Johnny Walker. Johnny, Heck of a win. Oh, here it is. We gotta get it on. All right. Next fight we're gonna be talking about is Karolina Kovalevich versus Vanessa Demopulos. You got Karolina -146 to come back here +114. So we're looking at this fight here. Now, the first thing here is you got to look at it is Karolina, the recognizable name, right? She's a recognizable name. We know what she can do. She came into the UFC, had hype behind her. UFC threw her into the deep end and said, hey, listen, go in there and start fighting the best in the world. But that also says, you know, how good that they think she is. She goes out there, won some, lost some. But either way, she has fought Yuani and Jacek, Claudia Gadelha, Michelle Waterson, Alexa Grasso, Yan Shonan. I mean, these are some of the best female fighters in the world that she has fought. Now, that being said, she has solid striking, good Muay Thai. She mixes up her combinations very well. I think the one thing that I kind of think is a little bit against her is the fact that, you know, these flurry combinations, one thing that Karolina does is she'll kind of push forward in these blitzing kind of flurry shots, and she doesn't have much power. And that, to me, I think kind of says a little bit, but the blitzing forward and these kind of things where she wants to utilize her Muay Thai, she wants to utilize her knees, elbows, and all those things. As she's blitzing forward, I think someone like Vanessa Demopulos, who has wrestling, who is going to be way stronger then Karolina, can get these takedowns. Now, she's not as elite-level striker or high-level striker or high-level fighter, I guess I should say, as Karolina is. But the strength advantage, I think, is going to be a lot in the apex cage. And I think the style at which Karolina fights is also going to be helping her as well, too. So coming in and fighting her with this style gives the opportunity for takedowns. But not only that is the fact that a lot of people, you know, Karolina is very good on the ground. I'm not very good, but she's is knowledgeable enough. She can scramble. You know, she has ability out there. But the one thing, though, is that people don't realize is that Vanessa is a black belt in BJJ. She has the ability to be down there. Now, maybe she doesn't show it all the time, but I think the strength mixed with her credentials helps her. And the fact that, you know, Karolina has this pitter-patter shots. She's not someone that's going to, you know, wow you with volume, because she's not a volume person either. She's not a volume striker. She's slower with her combinations. She's slower with her footwork. All those things really start to point towards Vanessa having the opportunity for level changes. She's more explosive. She's stronger, even in the clinch or pushing up at the fence. I honestly think there's going to be a point in this fight she's almost going to pick Karolina up and slam her to the ground, because she's just frail. And Vanessa is a big, big, strong female. Now, Karolina, there's no doubt about it. She is the better striker. She has that ability. But I think even on the striking defense is not good. Vanessa, who throws these big shots, these big looping hooks, can land some shots that may hurt her. And even when Karolina now has kind of changed, and she was definitely on that fast track, she was looking great. And since she got knocked out against Jessica Andrade, she has looked like a human being that does not want to take punches. Now, it's not like any fighter wants to take punches, but it's like the reaction. It's like how they react to the shot, to me, starts to change their mentality, their hunger, all those things, where Vanessa knows this is a massive, massive shot for her to go in there and get the victory. And even if you look at this here now, like since from 2018 to 2022, here's the better position here, that she was 0-5. She was 0-5 over that span. How crazy is that? She's 0-5 over those years. She got finished twice. And it's I'm sorry if I'm kind of looking up, but Johnny Walker just wrote me and I saw and said, let's reschedule as soon as possible. So that's good news. That's hot off the press there. But the funny part about it is that she was 0-5 from 2018 to 2021. And then she was finished twice. And over those three decisions, she didn't even win a round. There wasn't even a round. I mean, again, she's fighting tough women. She's fighting top level, and I understand that. But to me, that says a lot about the situation, about where she is. And then she came back. Now she's 0-2. Now we feel great about it, right? But if you look at the two wins, I mean, Felice Herring, was on her retirement fight, and she was 0-4 run before she retired. Not the highest level opponent. And then you've got Silvana Gomez Suarez, who was 1-3 in the UFC. Now, again, I'm not saying that Vanessa faced some elite level talent, but that's kind of what we put Carolina at. So for me in this spot here, I like Vanessa. I think that she can go out there, utilize her strength, utilize her wrestling, push forward, and make sure that it's an ugly fight, that it's not some kickboxing fight, smaller apex cage helps her as well too. So I do like Vanessa Demopoulos +115. That's my spot. And if you want the decision, which is her most likely path, maybe a little sprinkle, +250, Vanessa Demopoulos. I don't see a finish here. I think this is one that's going to be scrappy, going to be ugly, and Vanessa wins 2 of 3. That's my spot here. So I like Vanessa Demopoulos to win +115, not 50. All right. Now, with that being said, we're going to take a shot here for the end of the show. Heck of a show. And like I said, Johnny Walker, he's in. It was just terrible situation, all these other things. But either way, if you want to get my max play, 5% play is up right now. It's a plus money play. I've got 3 plays. 2 of them are plus money, and I'm probably going to add a 4th play. So cheers. We're going to make some money this weekend. And thanks for watching. Let's cash.